Welcome to Metron and to In the Now with Jim Swilley, and we are very happy to have our good friend, our good brother, Mr. John Scott. Would you please welcome John Scott to the Metron?
It's good to be loved.
Thank you for being here today. And if you are watching this as an In the Now, go back and find when John was here at Metron. You can hear his music. He did some excellent music this morning. Today, for this installment, we're just going to be doing a little bit of a synergistic team teaching. And I want to get right into it, but let me show you one verse of Scripture, and I'll tell you in a moment why I want to use it. At the time of this taping, this is the Christmas season, and we talk a lot of about Isaiah 9, unto us a child is born. I want to show it to you from Bible in the Now, which is my unpublished book, but it's I want to specifically talk about the idea of unto us. If you can bring that up, verse, this is the way the translation reads, for unto us, not unto me, not unto you, but unto us, the collective corporate community of mankind, the household of humanity, unto all of us, a child is born, unto us, the global family, a son is given, and the responsibility of the government will rest on his broad shoulders. And I go on in the next verse. It's very wordy. For sake of time, I'm just going to skip over that, because what I want to specifically talk about is the idea of unto us. I've done a series about that. There are things that are only revealed to you and somebody else. Even in this season, we talk about, you remember when Mary found out she was pregnant with Jesus, she goes to meet Elizabeth, and when they saluted one another, the babies in their looms. They had babies in their looms. They had babies in their wombs. They leapt. And there is something about, I mean, I feel it with you here today. There's something wanting to, something I'm wanting to give birth to that I can't do it without you. You know what I mean? There's something about your presence here, the words that you speak, that cause that thing, that revelation, to leap on the inside of me. This is what I want to say, and then I just want to let you make some opening comments about it. We're all online a lot. Social media is the way pretty much everybody communicates now. It's interesting to me, especially coming through this, and I don't want to make this about politics, but this political season has revealed this, that at a time when people are communicating more than ever, that you would think ideally this is an idea exchange, and people, this is a non-threatening environment where people can say what they really think, and people can meditate on it, and it will bring unity. And it seems to have done just the opposite. How crazy is that, that we're talking more and becoming more polarized? You didn't know I was going to go there, but I know I've read some of the things that you've posted, and I think they're very interesting. What happens where, first of all, before we get into that aspect of it, why is it unto us a child is born? Why is it, talk to me a little bit about universality, about the connection of people, why we're all connected, and why we can only get what we need with other people in our life. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me is where two or three are gathered, there's something created that can't be created without more than one, and yet we're all one, universally. And we live on a sphere, last time I checked. So that means the boundaries are only the boundaries that we really allow. And if you think about social media, it has cut off the boundaries. We are one. We are one together, facing each other on Facebook, or wherever you might be, we're one. It also takes me to the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father prayer. And one of the things that I've tried to do over the last few years is I want to be as balanced as I can be when it comes to religion. And a couple of years ago, something happened for me, and it was almost a vision or a dream. And it was where I saw a separation between spirit and religion and began to understand it. I began to understand it because I don't know that we really know how to understand God. I think we know how to try to experience God and explain what we experience. That's why theology always falls short and always will.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because we're allowed to have that argument. As a matter of fact, we're invited into the argument. Jesus invites us into the argument with the very language that he uses. When I think about unto us is born, I'm thinking in terms of fast forwarding a little bit where the disciples said, teach us how to pray or how to concentrate or focus in on the Spirit. Because a lot of us think that prayer is really about petition, but it's more of a conversation. It's a conversation with yourself, which even feels more weird. You know, you start thinking, am I talking to myself? Well, it is if the kingdom of God is within you. So it's a conversation with yourself to elevate yourself anytime you get ready to elevate yourself. The I in the I will be what I will be. You know, the story that takes place where Moses is arguing with a burning bush of all things. Mm-hmm. How weird is that? He's talking to a tree, a bush that's on fire. And this is the story. It's a mythological story. Oops. It's a mythological story. It maybe didn't necessarily happen that way. That's the way Moses wrote it. Because he's been at least accused of writing the first parts of the Bible. So he writes about an experience where he's talking to a burning bush, and that burning bush says, I want you to go free my people. And we need to understand in context that the belief back then was that the Jewish people were God's only people. This is the slant or the culture they're writing from. So we have to understand their culture. So this discussion goes on between Moses and a burning bush. I promise this is going to lead us to us. Yeah, okay. So Moses says, well, who do I say sent me? It's a superstition amongst all that, at least the known planet at that time, that if you had the name of the deity, you controlled the power of the deity, right? So Moses is asking for power so that he can go back and do what he believes is insurmountable, something that's impossible to do. God responds with saying, or the God phenomenon that he's experiencing responds with saying, I will be what I will be. He actually doesn't even say in the Hebrew, I am that I am. He says, I will be what I will be. In other words, God responds with an imperfect, impersonal verb, saying it's a moving target. Good luck. Wow. Right? So when I think about what we talk about here, much of what we're talking about is theology. We're not really talking about God, because God is more experienced than actually codified.
Yes.
Because if we can set up quantification and logistics on it, we've actually lost it. It's weird. It's awesome, though, that as soon as you quantify it and you set it into a theology, it moves. Because God's Spirit is always evolving, even though we have the tendency to revolve.
Wait, what?
So here's what we have a tendency to do. It happens on the Mount of Transfiguration. We have a tendency to say, man, this experience was awesome. Let's revolve for a while.
And lock it in.
And so we failed to evolve, and then something traumatic often has to happen to knock us out of the orbit of what we were revolving around so that we can get into space, darkness, cocoon, and grow our wings.
You better preach.
So this is what I'm experiencing. When I think about this, the Our Father prayer, I promised that I would get to it. The Our Father prayer to me took on a lot more power when I started sitting down a little bit with Amy Jill Levine. She is a professor of New Testament at Vanderbilt in Nashville, and she is a Jewish woman who grew up in parochial school or in Catholic school, and then went to temple every week. So she's grown up Jewish. She's getting the Catholic side. She's seeing all of it, and she became very intrigued with the Bible. And now she's a Bible scholar. And I was like, okay, I want you to tell me what Jesus, being a Jewish, by the way, you shouldn't be surprised that Jesus was Jewish.
What?
But Jesus, being a Jewish young man, speaking of the prayer, and he says, Our Father. First of all, he says our. Doesn't say yours. Doesn't say mine. He says our.
Which was very controversial.
Right, but yeah. Exactly, because he is, and this is where he gets political with it. He refers to Father because Julius Caesar called himself Father and called himself a son of God. And this is where we start dealing with a lot of the myth of Scripture and how westernized Christianity has created a crock, okay? A culture that's intended to manipulate people because it makes offerings bigger and it makes corporation grow. We've built it around this mythology, and we've missed God. There's no better place to hide from God than in church.
Yeah, that's right. So you ask the woman, the Jewish woman says, "You finish that."
So we started studying the Our Father prayer, or the Lord's Prayer as we've heard it. Our Father who art, our Father. Jesus is using a political term. When you talked about the government will be on his shoulders, he's using a political term, and he's saying, our Father who is. The proper translation for that scripture is our Father not in heaven somewhere. Art is not art in heaven. Those words aren't actually in the original writings. They're not in the original writings because there's no place to go to other than here.
Yeah.
Which is why they said, Jesus, we've never heard anyone speak like this before, because, you know, historically there are many who think Jesus spent some time in China, in India, and experienced, because I don't know if you know this, but Hinduism predates Christianity by like 3,000 years, okay? It's the oldest organized religion that we know of as far as writings. So Jesus spends time understanding the separation and yet oneness of spirit that rises above religion. What happened to me was when I had this vision was I saw spirit here, I saw religion here, and I went, okay, I get it. This is why you can be radically inclusive about religion and not feel like that you're being ingenuine, because you can look at religion and say, we're all trying to get to spirit. When you understand it, then you start to say, okay, whatever the path is for me, Christianity, the following of Jesus, path led me toward that. All right, back to the Our Father prayer. Our Father is a political terminology. Jesus is saying our, because the idea is that you cannot own the Father. The Father, we're created in the Father's image, and he is our Father.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't strange for them to refer to a political or a strong authoritative figure as father. This doesn't exclude women. This, you know, Jesus is using a language they would understand, to understand that God is greater or bigger than government, bigger than structure, because there is really no structure except for the kingdom of God that's within you, which feels often chaotic. But sometimes in your chaos or crisis, you'll find Christ.
Are you going to applaud or not?
It's just fun to me. That's fun.
You just opened several windows that I want to crawl through. We may have to wait till the next installment. But I was thinking about Acts 17 when Paul goes to Mars Hill. And he goes to where all of these temples are. And, because they were polytheist, they had this one temple in case they didn't cover all of them with the sun god and the moon god and Baal and Diana and whoever else. They had one called the Temple to the Unknown God, just to make sure one of the gods will be covered, at least in that temple. And he stands up and preaches, never says the name Jesus there. And he says, he actually says in verse 28, this is where we get the phrase, in him we live and move and have our being. When you read the full context, he says, even in your own poets have said this. In other words, this is even in your Greek mythology, mm-hmm. that he is not far from any of us. He says, we all grope, we, he uses all of these plural pronouns, we, us, our. It's really Paul's version of the Our Father. It's saying he's not far from any of us. This is my God that I'm going to impose upon you. Like, I'm going to discredit your God so you will bow down and worship my God.
Right.
He doesn't call it that. He does talk about a man, capital M. He said there was a man who was crucified. But he never says the name of Jesus, certainly never talks about Christianity, certainly never tells them to renounce their own temple worship. As a matter of fact, in the King James, it says, I see that you are religious. The Greek actually says, I see that you are all seekers. And that's really what we are now. We have a couple more minutes. What were you going to say?
Well, I just think there's something hidden in the code with this, you know, where we talk about, unto us is born. And we start talking about the. It's interesting to me that the story we get, which, by the way, they're conflicting. If you study the Bible, you find out conflicting stories about the birth. Okay, conflicting stories about, and some of them don't even cover it. Some of the Gospels don't even cover the birth of Jesus, Marcus, which should tell you something.
Right.
Okay. And a lot of what's written in the Gospels is a piggyback on Mark, trying to describe it. And all of those, by the way, were at least found and translated after the Pauline epistles. So I just got this while you were saying that. It's so interesting that when we talk about Son of God, the baby is born, we've just come through a very, very weird, strange, and chaotic experience with this election. Okay, can I get just a second with you, just get real? First of all, what we're doing in America is an experiment anyway. The fact that it's lasted as long as it has is a flipping miracle. Okay, democracy and republic and all of that, I don't know if you've studied it enough to know, but this is an experiment, and we're all a part of it. We're lucky that we're holding it together, really. With that being said, I believe we've come through a stage where the evangelical church, without knowing it, has helped us to birth a new child. And the question is, what will we do with it? And this is a child of the Holy Ghost, which means it doesn't have origin we can trace, which means it is spirit. Because if you can trace origin, you've missed spirit.
And on that note, stay tuned. Same bat time, same bat channel. Would you please tell John Scott how much we appreciate him being here? Thank you for being with us on In the Now with Jim Swilly. We will see you next time.